Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. Score! A taser from Jonathan Toews, his first.
Hello, hockey fans. How are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, right here on UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg. That's on your FM dial, right through the airwaves. If you are in, within range of the tower, well, we're going to be beamed right into your vehicle, your house, wherever you're listening. But if you are not, and you, want to listen to the show, and you are listening to the show somehow or another, well, it's probably via podcast or stream, as you can get us there via the internet tubes, any old time, any old place. So just check out, the links from the umfm.ca/, Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talk Show website. Find us Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Instagram at talking_hockey_podcast. We like to have some fun. We're two guys talking hockey, just a couple of dudes. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We don't know what's going on, but we watch hockey. We talk hockey. We play hockey. I said it in the wrong order, Jared. It's co-host Tom here. I got co-host Jared in the other chair. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm feeling like it's Groundhog Day over here, Tommy.
It's Groundhog Day. Listeners, a little behind the scenes radio magic for you. So we are pre-recording on Sunday. The show
actually
airs Monday.
Even Saturday.
Oh my, yeah. It's only Saturday. Okay, so we're pre-recording Saturday. Yeah. The show airs Monday. Well, we already recorded this segment, and whoops, we forgot to press record. So here we are again. Listen, folks, that doesn't matter. We got all the kinks out in the first go round. Now
second
we're
one
like
is
Bill Murray and Groundhog Day. We're fine tuning our approach to,
Tom is sitting at a piano just banging it out right now. Yeah.
So this is season 6, episode 27. Mm-hmm. And it's an episode that we are going to name after a goalie, Jared, because, we feel the goalie demographic is underrepresented on our show.
Yes.
Last week we had defensemen.
Yeah.
Also underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're up into getting into the numbers where we're going to probably see a few more goalies because this is episode 27. Now, you might be thinking at home, listeners, you might be thinking
Manitoba legend, Ron Hextall. Yeah.
Well, you'd be wrong. We did Ronnie Hextall a couple years ago, I think. So, we've actually got a different number 27, and this guy is a beauty. And you know what? Like, we didn't really know a lot about him coming into today, but we've done our research, folks, and we're certified fans of number 27, Gilles Meloche of the California Golden Seals, the Cleveland Barons, the Minnesota North Stars, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Was there another stop in there?
Could have been. Oh, he started with Chicago.
Right. See, yeah. I closed my tabs.
Well, shoot. So he wasn't in Chicago for very long.
No, and that's the only place he didn't wear 27 because, right. He got into two games in 1970-71 with the Chicago Blackhawks. They handed him jersey number 30, and he said, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'm just happy to be here. Then the next year he ends up over in California. Mm-hmm. With the Golden Seals, and he plays 56 games. The following season was his career high of 59. California, he was there, for four or five seasons, and then Cleveland, the Seals mm-hmm. moved to Cleveland. He's mm-hmm. in Cleveland for two seasons. Now, what you may have missed in the first segment that went unrecorded,
yeah.
before we did take two here,
yeah.
we figured out that the California Golden Seals moved to Cleveland. But let's go over that, Jared, because that was interesting.
Well, so the California Golden Seals started in 1967. They were one of six teams that were added as part of expansion. And so, even though they played their entire run in Oakland, at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, they had, count it, one, two, three, four different names. So they started as the California Seals, then they became the Oakland Seals, then the Bay Area Seals, and then the California Golden Seals. Now,
Golden Seals.
I don't have a whole heck of a lot of research into this. However, my guess is going to be that selling hockey in California in the 60s was not a super easy thing. And so,
It was brand new there in the late 60s, and so they were just looking for something to catch.
And so the switch from one name to another name, probably trying to market to a wider fan base. What was interesting is that in 70-71, the team was purchased by a guy named Charlie Finley, who sports fans out there might know as the longtime owner of the Oakland Athletics. And Charlie Finley was he was eccentric to say the least. He's the guy who brought in the idea of renaming them the Bay Area Seals, trying to market them to both San Francisco and Oakland. But then also, he changed the logo. He added was it the white skates?
Yeah, they had white skates for a while, which is kind of ahead of their time in a way. But yeah, they got to do what they got to do to market the game out there. And it didn't take on that initial go around. But of course, hockey's huge out there now. You got your San Jose Sharks in the Bay Area. I think the Bay Area could have another team. They're talking about all these different places teams could go. I mean, the Bay Area, put a team in San Francisco, or I suppose Oakland's got, they've lost all their teams now. And I don't know.
I mean, maybe even Sacramento, Northern California, it's where the state capital is. But anyways, hockey doesn't succeed in Cleveland, or sorry, in California. So then they move to Cleveland, where it succeeds even less. They're only there for 2 years, and
But
then
Gilles Meloche, folks, ladies and gentlemen, he makes the trek with the team. He's still number 27 with your Cleveland Barons. And might I add, a fantastic face mask, goalie
Oh my
mask.
God.
We'll get into the goalie masks a little bit in a minute, but let's hear the rest of this saga.
And so, the only constant between the two is that Gilles Meloche goes from California, he goes to Cleveland. He is facing so many shots, I am sure, because both of these teams are abysmal. After 2 seasons in Cleveland, the league basically strikes a deal where they merge in 1978 with another squad, the Minnesota North Stars. Now, we're not talking like the Minnesota Wild, who were an expansion team themselves.
Was
We're
this been
talking
a
about the
WHA or WHL or?
no, well, this is the current. So the Minnesota North Stars, I believe, also came in during that 67
Oh
expansion.
yeah, you're right. They did.
But they only lasted until 93, where they were kind of moved under some very sketchy circumstances to Dallas. Because if you have been in Minnesota, and I mean, I'm biased, my people are from Minnesota. Minnesota is the hockey state for a good reason. The game is revered there. I don't know quite why the team ever moved. But
Money. It had to have just been
well,
dollars and cents,
exactly.
probably a stadium deal that wasn't, there's reasons. It's the same for, like in Canada, it's the same. Quebec and Winnipeg both lost teams. Why? Well, money. Yeah. Not
Well,
because
and the
fans don't like hockey.
well, and what's also kind of funny is that the Minnesota North Stars are probably the only team that was ever involved in like a merger slash amalgamation twice, because when San Jose, the other Bay Area team, came into the league, there was a like this weird dispersal draft where they got players from Minnesota for because the owners from Minnesota had left to go to run San Jose. Very strange. Very strange.
That is the twisted world of the NHL, folks. But hey,
it's got none of it has anything to do with number 27, Gilles Meloche, other than...
No, but it's a worthy sidetrack because it's part of Gilles' voyage through the NHL in that he played for some awful teams.
Yeah.
You know, through no fault of his own. And he saw a lot of rubber through his career, you know, playing for teams like the California Golden Seals, the Cleveland Barons, the Minnesota North Stars, or the late 80s Pittsburgh Penguins, who were just awful as well. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, in 788 career games over 18 years, that's regular season, Gilles only saw 45 playoff games. And you know, like he had two good playoff runs of probably a couple series there with Minnesota in like 79, 80 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, the teams he was on probably weren't making the playoffs. So he had the fourth most losses. And now I don't know how accurate this, you know, this statement is or whatever anymore, but the fourth most losses of NHL goalies.
He's currently fourth on the list.
Okay.
For most losses.
Yeah, with 351. But also on that list are Martin Brodeur, Curtis Joseph, and who was the other guy? Gump Worsley.
So, the Gumper.
Yeah. I guess that just means, like, if you stick around and play enough, you might get some losses along the way. It's kind of the similar to Paul Maurice, the coach, Paul Maurice, who has, you know, I think, is up there for most losses of NHL coaches, but only because he's coached the most games kind of thing. So,
well, I will say now I have looked this up. He is still fourth, but Gump Worsley is no longer in the top four. He's now fifth because another goalie, Roberto Luongo.
Oh, Luongo
is number two. Marty Joseph lost 397 games.
Marty Joseph? Marty Brodeur?
Or Marty Brodeur. Yeah, Marty Joseph.
Curtis Joseph.
Yes. Oh, man.
But Marty Brodeur, I mean, also, he's also number one on the wins list. So.
Yeah, 691 wins. So,
but the mustachioed man they call Gilles Meloche is nowhere even near that. He had 270 career wins, which, hey, nothing to sneeze at.
No.
But, you know, like he was out there kind of doing his thing, rocking some sweet masks. He kind of came in probably in the no helmet era and then transitioned to that era where they just had the like plastic shell across the face with the straps in the back. Mm-hmm. And then later in the career, I think there was like some sort of, you know, proto goalie mask that we are used to seeing now.
Well, I kind of remember Gilles Meloche wearing, because he's got, and I'm sure you'll post some of these, he's got a great mask with the North Stars. He's got that amazing mask with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember him in Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, no. In Pittsburgh, he's got like the sort of the conventional mask that we all
it's
know
white,
and love
like, yeah,
today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He never wore the old Cooper helmet with the cage.
No, he went to that kind of, I don't know who made that, but like his pads, I mean, you look at Google image search and we'll post some of these, but his pads through the years, right? Like he rocked those Coopers, the ones that are the brown leather and, you know, you get them wet after the Zamboni floods the ice and then they weigh 300 pounds and yeah, he rocked those. He was a Cooper guy for sure, I think, if you look at some of like, and he possibly had the same gear for a large part of his career because as a Golden Seal through to Pittsburgh Penguin, you're like, is that the same blocker, same glove, same pads? Could pretty much could be for sure. So kind of a beauty. He, you know, I think he's out there, you know, catching some waves maybe in California. You think he was hitting the beach at all ever anytime he was out there?
Oh, I would say so. The one other thing before we go, because I know we got to break to a song. So Milosh, one of the notable things in his career, he stuck around with Pittsburgh for a while and was a scout. But
oh,
was
yes.
Also,
this is a fun fact.
A goalie coach and was pretty instrumental in the development of Marc-Andre Fleury. I just realized, like, right now, as I'm looking through these image searches, Fleury's mask at the outdoor game where with Minnesota, where they wore those snazzy yellow and green throwbacks, was the Gilles Milosh mask.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I love it. Yeah, so Gilles Milosh is essentially the mentor to
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury. That's his protege. I love it.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins. Gilles got 3 cup rings with the Penguins. The 2 in the 90s, 91, 92. Then he's got the one in 07, 09, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
The first one of the Crosby era.
Because
the Penguins actually have 5 cups as a franchise now. 3 Crosby cups, 2 Lemieux cups. Pretty good team, guys. Of course, they're, you know, things of... We'll talk Penguins later, maybe. We got no time to talk Penguins.
We're going to play a song?
We're going to play a song. It's the Weezer. So we've been talking Gilles Milosh, Mr. California Golden Seal. Weezer's Blue Album turned 30 this past week, Jared. Pretty pivotal album for folks of a certain age.
Like me.
And me. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to play a song off of that. This one goes out to, I think, you know, we imagine Gilles out there strutting around with his mustache on the beaches of California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one's called Surf Wax America, and it's right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show.
See, it's foaming like a bottle of beer. The wave is coming, but I ain't got no fear. I'm waxing down to that Algoria pass. I'm waxing down because it's really a blast. I'm going surf because I don't like the fish. I'm bailing out because I hate the rings. A rat's a bunny running, running the maze. I'm going surfing, I'm going surfing.
All right, that was Surf Wax America by Weezer off their Blue Album, which turned 30 this year. Pretty great album. Pretty great song. That one, you know, going out to Mr. California, Gilles Milosh. Number 27, just like this episode, season 6, episode 27 of Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. We got a lot to talk about this week, Jared. We got playoffs. We got coaching carousels. Coaching decisions, lots of coach stuff, but lots of playoff stuff too. We also got a new segment we're gonna premiere in the show a little later called Pack a Day, and that's pack a day habit. That's our new segment where we're gonna open a pack of hockey cards on the show. So right now, we're in the second round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Jared, some series have only played 2 games. Mm-hmm. Some series are, well, depending on what the results are of the game that starts in 5 minutes, are over. or, you know, 4 games in plus. So that series, of course, that I speak of is the New York Rangers-Carolina Hurricanes. Game 4, Saturday night, 6 p.m., Winnipeg time. Which mm-hmm. is basically right now when we're recording this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't kind of speak on that too much, but I will say what a series that's been. And Rangers are up 3-0. Did you see that coming?
Like, no, I thought, I thought Carolina was ready to make the push that people have been talking about them making for the last couple of years.
It has been one goal game, all three games far, one goal games, two of them overtime.
Could have gone either way.
So it's crazy because did not the Rangers and Hurricanes play in the playoffs? I don't know if that was last year or 2 years ago, what that was. I think it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers swept them in mm-hmm. four games.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure every game was a one-goal game. And mm-hmm. Coach Brind'Amour afterwards said, "It doesn't feel like we got swept," or something. You know, he had a quote like that. And
I'm going to you could say the exact same thing here again. However, like, yes, they've all been one goal games, but if you've watched them, don't you just feel like New York has been like a step ahead and has been the dominant team
despite the closeness and despite the shot disparity in a couple of the games, mm-hmm. which leaned heavily towards Carolina? But you know what? They're a high shot volume team. The Rangers are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of just their philosophy of how they play the game, where the Hurricanes are putting everything to the net, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, where the Rangers are maybe looking to create a little something more. And they've got some skilled players to be able to do that. You know what I mean? You've got your Artemi Panarins, and boy, doesn't Alexi Lafreniere look like a first overall pick
all of a sudden. And great. We were talking the other night. Trocheck has been amazing.
Yeah. Chris Kreider, yep. Zibanejad. You know, the Rangers have no shortage of very good skilled players. And the system they play, though, it's not like everything to the net. So the shot clock looks, you know, a little lopsided towards Carolina for sure. Mm-hmm. So Igor Shesterkin has had to be very, very good. You know, mm-hmm. if he's not good, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, but guess what? He's very, very good.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
so
a very, very good.
It's all it all seems to be going to plan for the Rangers. They don't mind these close games that go to overtime. They don't care.
So you know? the one thing that I will say, and you kind of alluded to it off the top, is that, you know, at the time of our recording, if the game goes in the Rangers' favor tonight, that series is done already.
Yep.
And
wild.
To me, like, I understand that there are other concerns, especially with New York and scheduling, but I think that it potentially puts New York at a disadvantage. If
they'll have to sit around forever,
they'll have to sit around, right?
They swept their first round series.
Yeah.
If they sweep this, they've played, you know.
Yeah. They've played eight games and they've swept.
Lots of rest.
But if Florida and Boston goes back and forth and ends up going seven games, which conceivably it could, because that mm-hmm. series looks like it's got that sort of feel to it. Mm-hmm. Like, is that a bonus for New York, or is that a detriment? I mean, you know, like, they seem to be rolling right now, but how hard is it for the league schedule makers? Like, let's just get everybody on the same page. And we talked about this last week, where it was weird that the first round was still going on.
Yeah, game seven of
Vegas and Dallas
was happening after
the Rangers
round two had already started.
No. And that doesn't make sense to me. And no. It's like, okay, so let's press pause. Let's get everybody in to round two, and then let's start. And I don't understand why Edmonton and Vancouver had to wait an extra day. Right?
No, me neither, because they didn't start until the 8th of May, and now they're only...
Only played two games so far.
Yeah, yeah. Game three goes on Sunday night. So, yeah, I mean, like, that series, if it goes the distance, because it's currently, I mean, tied at one, and That's a series I can see going seven games, and they've been one goal games so far, and I see no reason that it wouldn't continue to be super tight like that. You know, it could go a long ways. You know, the Dallas Colorado series, any of these series, I feel like could really, except for maybe the Rangers,
the Rangers
who are now up 3-0 and possibly could end it here on Saturday.
Yeah,
night.
Carolina's going to have to get things going tonight. So, you know, we talked about this last week. Has now that we're kind of into the second round series a little bit more, anybody really standing out as like a prohibitive favorite, like these guys are the guys right now? Has there been any surprises for you? Has it, like, the thing that was really surprising for me, I'll say, is how badly Edmonton blew game one in their series. Yeah. Like, they were up 4-1.
Yep. And that was, I don't know if that was just like Vancouver, you know, they score a goal, the fans get back on the side, they get start getting loud, the momentum. Or is that, you know, Stuart Skinner, you know, Edmonton's goaltending's got question marks.
Well, and if I'm an Edmonton, you know, Oilers fan, I'm clenching pretty hard after game one, because it's just like, oh boy, here we go.
Well, game two had a bunch of goals as well. It was a 4-3 overtime win for Edmonton, which, I mean, the OT winner, too bad for Ian Cole. I mean, he was just trying to play defense. He makes a perfect deflection into his own net, you know, got to get, trying to get his sticks in the lane, as it were. Right. So, you know, it's not like Edmonton crushed them in game two.
Nope.
Vancouver was right there. It was back and forth. It was a close game. I don't know. I still am not sure who I'm cheering for in that series, to be honest. I think I don't really care, but like part of me kind of really wants to cheer for Vancouver.
So do I.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either. Yeah.
Just because, you know what? Guess I'm kind of tired of hearing about how Edmonton is, this is the year. This is the year that Edmonton's making their run. And it's just like, you've got two of the best five players on this planet, and you've done nothing with
them. What's funny, I was talking, I had the game on last night, you know, my wife comes home, and we're just sitting there talking, and then I'm telling her, you know, all about Leon Draisaitl or whatever. she cares,
oh,
right?
I bet you she loved that.
Yeah, but I was just kind of saying, this guy, man, what a player. He doesn't wow you with his skating ability or his speed, you know. It looks like he's barely skating at all out there, you know. But he's big. He's got such silky smooth hands. He's got a great shot. He is a pinpoint passer. It's just like, but sometimes he'll have the puck and he's just standing there, and it's like you're yelling at the other team, like, do something, like, get him. So then you try to, but he makes you look silly, you know, with a great pass or something, you know, and then he'll take two steps to the side. The puck comes back to him and he wires it far down, you know, and that's just Leon Draisaitl, right? So,
and quite he's the second best forward on the team.
I know he's quite a different player than McDavid, who's just all razzle dazzle, super fast, super high speed, everything. But Leon's no slouch. And would it surprise you, you know, if I told you your playoff leading scorers so far were McDavid and Draisaitl, you know, with 17 and 16 points so far in seven games each? You know, I don't think it would surprise anyone. So
no, but neither of those guys can play goal. And that is going to be what happens with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
That is it, right?
Yeah. And then, so like that's that series. And, you know, like Vancouver's kind of had their goaltending issues because Demko's out.
Because they're all hurt.
Yeah. And they've been going with Shilofs or whatever, the Latvian who, I mean, he looks great, but he's young and inexperienced, but he's been doing it. And yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the story of this time of year, I think. You got to have guys step up, come through. And, you know, like in that Colorado Dallas series, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like anybody's missing in that one. It's pretty much everybody's healthy, all everybody's going. And, you know, it's been close so far as well. So, the only one that really hasn't had, you know, that you ask me what has surprised me. I'll say what has surprised me is the Florida Boston scores of the last couple games. 6-2, 6-1 Florida. You know, they
5-1
chase they
Boston in the first game.
yeah, and they but Florida chased Swayman a couple times.
Yeah.
Do you think Boston goes back to Allmark now for game four, which is Sunday?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Swayman up until recently, like i.e. the first couple of games here, has been great. He's been very, very good for them. And I think that he is their number one. I think that, you know, if they're going to make a run, Swayman's the guy, and then in the off season they move Ullmark, and they, you know, because ultimately you need a number one. I don't think the idea that you can run out the tandem of the one and the 1A, it never ends up working. And
Well, they did
last
it all
year,
season,
yeah.
but then last year in the playoffs they tried it this year and it didn't obviously really work. You know, they lost in the first round 7 games to Florida. Now they're seeing Florida again in round two this year because in round one they just went Swayman. They switched goalies the first 2 games, then game three through seven in the Boston Toronto series, they went Swayman. So, but all season they went back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
So
So
an interesting take, but we've got some coaching stuff that to talk about too. How much time we got left in this segment? You know,
we got a
we're
couple
we got a
minutes.
couple of minutes, so let's talk a little bit of coaching because your Winnipeg Jets coach, Old Bones, as we affectionately called him, Rick Bowness, he has decided, you know what, boys, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And we speculated on the show last week, and then you know immediately when we were done recording, he announced,
He
I'm
hit it.
retiring.
Yes.
He was listening to our show, I think. And then he said, you know what? I'll just make the announcement
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So.
And so there is currently six openings. Travis Green, who you know, used to coach the Islanders, and he signed on with the Senators. Man, I'll tell you, if I'm a Senators fan and I see, oh, hey, we signed Travis Green to come in and coach, he's done like not
He no.
much
He didn't
with
coach
the
the Islanders, did he? He was in New Jersey this year, I
no,
think. And then he was the
well,
head coach of Vancouver for a while.
didn't he coach the Islanders?
Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Maybe he, I'm thinking, because he played with
I
the
do know what you
Islanders.
mean though. Like, despite where he did or didn't, a
He
bit
is
of an
so
underwhelming hire in a way.
uninspiring to me.
So this is Steve Staios, the new GM of Ottawa, his first coaching hire. And he goes with Travis Green. This is a young team that needs to take that next step. Is Green the guy who can put them there? Well, tune in, folks. We don't know. But it is, I mean, and this is no respect to Travis Green because you know what? When he was the coach of the Canucks a couple years ago, I thought I didn't mind him, you know, but the Canucks, they had a young team and they just couldn't quite do what they needed to do. It's taken them until this year to do what they needed to do. Under
Yeah,
Coach
well,
Tocchet, but
5 years with Vancouver, his best result was losing in the second round to Vegas. And
that was
then
in the bubble.
yeah. And then he filled in for New Jersey, came in halfway through the year.
When Ruff got Lindy Ruff got fired this year and Travis
Lindy
Green
Ruff
took
got
over.
fired. Yeah, and he went 8-12, and they missed the playoffs. So whatever.
New Jersey this year was a whole other story, man.
Well,
That
and
was a
so,
disappointing team, let me tell you what.
right.
But
So there is currently six openings. So New Jersey, as you mentioned, San Jose, Seattle, no, sorry, five, because Ottawa came off the board. New Jersey,
yeah, and
San
Buffalo
Jose,
already hired a guy
Seattle,
too.
Yeah, Buffalo
Went back. They
went
went
back
back to.
to the future and hired Lindy Ruff. Toronto and Winnipeg.
Obviously,
So
the big one that is going to get all the attention is Toronto. Who are they going to hire? Everybody there wants to hire Craig Berube. I think he's too mean for Toronto.
well, so
They
the in
sent Babcock packing.
the
You know.
interesting name for me, honestly, and I think that, and it will depend. It will depend what happens in the series that is currently ongoing, is Rod Brind'Amour, because he does not have a new contract. And if they get swept by the Rangers,
They might not give him a new one, yeah.
might not bring him back, right? And
Which is
he's
fair, which is fair. I mean, he's been a coach in Carolina for it feels like forever,
Yeah,
but
but
I
guess
don't.
what? He's never won a conference final game in his 6 year tenure with Carolina. I could see, like, Toronto wants to make a big hire, right? Like, Toronto,
Of course
that's,
they do. It's
yeah.
Toronto. They can't, yeah. Obviously.
So
And it's
there's,
also what's his name? Shanahan's kind of
oh man,
you know, it
did you watch that press conference?
no.
Oh, talk about like dead man walking. Like Shanahan, man, he looked bummed out. He just
Yeah.
did, just like, but what can he, like, how much longer can that guy stick around if
Well,
they have
exactly.
another
And
bad
so that's
season?
why I think they need to go big or go home with a coaching hire because it's Shanahan's last grasp. If it doesn't work, he's gone and he knows it.
Yeah.
And
Let's
you know, but also it's Toronto and they always they're it, you know, it's how with Stamkos. Remember when Stamkos was going to be a free agent and
Right.
they everybody it was like, "Oh, he's coming to Toronto for
No, he's
sure."
not.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tavares did and whatever, but like
No.
that seems like everybody's going to Toronto all the time, right? So
Well, and so I'm thinking like Toronto, it's gonna be like it like a guy like Berube seems to be the sort of the fit, or a guy like Todd McClellan,
yeah,
who
Berube
again,
does seem like a Trey Living kind of guy.
yeah.
Like I joked, you know, Trey Living's calling Vulcan Alberta Daryl Sutter right
Yeah.
now, but I mean, he might be. But if
Well,
I think
but
Sutter's in Rick Bonus's boat where he's like, you know what? I am retired.
well, and so here's the thing. I don't think in the situation in Toronto, you cannot bring in a young guy. You have to bring in somebody who's established. You have to bring in somebody who carries some weight. I could see Sheldon Keefe being unemployed for like next to no time and
Yeah, like
ending
he'll be
up,
hired next week or something.
yeah, like New Jersey's already wants to talk to him. I could see him ending up in Seattle. I think that San Jose is probably going to go with a young-ish type coach
Yeah,
because
they're building for the future. They got
what do you
nothing to
need,
prove right
right?
now. They got the number one overall pick. They won the lottery. Probably
Yeah.
Macklin Celebrini's going there.
Yeah,
And so that's, yeah. But what
so
do you think
then
about a Winnipeg?
so I think that one of two things, right? And we talked about this last week. Winnipeg, the most Winnipeg thing that Winnipeg could do is just hire Scott Arneil, right? He's already under
He's
contract.
already there.
Seems to be the kind of the succession plan. I hope that they look further afield and kind of figure out, okay, so we have an opportunity over the next 3 years, right? We've maybe got this window. We've got players signed. We've got players coming up. Who can lead this team? And I think, you know what, Scott Arneil, he did good work when Old Bones was out this year, but Scott Arneil to me is not that guy. He's not that head coach. And I, you know, like you look at guy like Dean Evason, right? Who was with Minnesota. Is he that guy? Dave Haxtell with Seattle? Maybe, probably not. The guy that I really hope that they talk to is Jay Woodcroft, who
Oh yeah, the Edmund former Edmonton coach there before he got fired this year.
Did good work in Edmonton. Like, you know what? Last year or last week, I talked about Gerard Gallant. I've changed my pace on that one. I don't want that. I don't want Bruce Boudreau. I don't want Claude Julien. I don't want Mike Yeo. The other guy that I hope they interview is, his name is David Carl. He is the head coach for Denver, the Denver Pioneers of the WCHA. Just won the
that's the team that won the NCAA. Just won the
NCAA. He's also been the U.S. World Junior team. Has won the gold there. He's 34 years old, and he is like presumably this great young hockey mind.
Do you think that he's one of the, because like the thing about college coaches sometimes is that they are lifers there, right? They start.
He's 34 years old.
I know, but I mean, like he could coach there until he's 60 if he wanted to. I bet.
Yeah, probably. So, you know, who would you like to see?
I mean, I think I know it's just going to be Arneil, but
of course.
Who would I like to see? Well, yeah, like you say, there's a bit of a window, and it's like you got to get somebody in who knows how to win.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on that list of coaches who know how to win? I don't know that there's anybody that jumps to mind right away. You know, like Berube, sure, he won a cup in 19 with the Blues,
mm-hmm.
but is he the right guy for this Winnipeg Jets team? I don't think so. I don't see him being the right coach for this group.
No, he's a like to me, he coaches like he probably played, where he's a bit of a hard ass and
an a-hole probably.
He runs the room with an iron fist.
Yeah, and I don't think the Jets really need that. I think what Bonus has done over his 2 years,
mm-hmm.
of kind of, you know, and he said it in his exit interview, his retirement speech or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. he came in and, you know, they cleaned the culture up, as it were. You know, they got a great room. And
the one thing that you can say about Scott Arneil is when he was pressed into duty this year, he did really well.
Mm-hmm.
They did play really
That's
well.
That's why I don't think I would be disappointed if the Jets just were like, you know what, Arneil, you're promoted. I don't think I would have any disappointment to that, but I think to your point, maybe just seeing what's out there would be kind of cool, right? Like,
yep.
Yeah. So it'll be anyway, Coach Watch, summer 2024 here on Talking Hockey. Last summer was Trots Watch. Well, this summer we'll just call it Coach Watch.
Sure.
Next segment, we're going to rip some packs. We got our pack a day habit starting up. We got to play a song, though, Jared.
Yep.
And we've got another great tune for you.
Mm-hmm.
This one is called Where's Paradise by The Outfit, or Daniel Romano's Outfit.
I love Daniel Romano.
I don't know how you want to phrase who this band is. It's like they go by several names. Daniel Romano, prolific artist. He's dabbled here and there and everywhere. He's been in a bunch of bands, solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
His new band is called The Outfit. He's put out a couple records with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their newest one. And this song is a ripper, a certified banger, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. right. That was Daniel Romano and his outfit, or just the outfit, with the song Where's Paradise? That's on his brand new album. I've lost the name of the album. It's off
too,
the top of my
Too
head.
Hot to Sleep.
Okay. Well, summer 2024 coming right up. I hope that you guys have some days that are too hot to sleep. You know why I hope that? Because we spend, that's what we live for. We got the minus 40 all winter. And you know, this winter was a walk in the park, but typically, right? It's cold. We got winter. Give me those dog days of summer. I don't care. I love it. I love it. Jared, it's time for our new segment on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. That segment, of course, is called Pack-a-Day. It's our pack. It's our Pack-a-Day habit.
Yeah, just in case my mom's out there listening, I haven't taken up smoking again.
I've been off smoking for over a decade now, folks. So haven't taken it up again. That's right. But I do have a fresh pack of hockey cards to open, and that's what we're talking about here, folks. We're talking about our pack of hockey cards, and Jared was so gracious to find these cards and make a purchase up at the local store there on in the West End, whose name I'm totally forgetting.
It is called Can Central. Can Central, they're on Ellis. They're close to the Jollibee on Ellis. Mm-hmm. So you can go get your fried chicken,
get some hockey cards from the early 90s.
They got an awesome corner full of old junk wax, as they call it. Prices are cheap, so you too can develop a pack-a-day habit. So we are opening some 1991 Topps Stadium Club cards.
Yeah. And hey, so in partnership with Kodak Film, no less.
Well,
I took
so,
pictures of each of these packs that we'll post to the Instagram as we do our pack a day here. So
the cool thing about the Top Stadium Club cards was it was a done in conjunction with Kodak Film, and so these cards look amazing. And the other thing that's kind of weird about them is that they're a little smaller. They have no border on them whatsoever.
They're the same width as a normal hockey card, just a little shorter.
Yeah.
Like barely though, you know?
Yeah.
So Jared, you got your pack already open?
Well, I do have my pack already open. I will say that these ones are pretty, they're pretty compacted. So okay. I'm just,
oh, you gotta go like, you gotta
separating the cards.
They've been in storage for a while. You got to work
been in
them
storage
around.
It's like, for a while.
It's like a block of cement. Yeah. All right.
So you might have to do the same.
Okay. Well, I'll just open mine. I just wanted to put it to the mic.
Oh yeah. Get that in there.
Exactly. It's not opening super easily for me, to be honest with you.
I needed a knife.
Okay, I got it. Okay, there's the crinkle. Yeah, they are. They're all like stuck together. Oh, these are cool. Wait a second. Yeah, no border, but there is like a stripe with the name on it. I got Dave Poulin. I'll do my cards. Number 19 for the Boston Bruins, Dave Poulin. It's a beauty. Check that out.
Oh, Poulin.
You like that helmet? I like that number 19.
We did. Dave Poulin was episode 19 this year, was he not?
Is that this year?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Big fans of Dave Poulin here on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talk Show. I got Joe Murphy of the Edmonton Oilers. So Joe Murphy's a very interesting story. He was a highly touted little player there for a while. Mm-hmm. He, I believe, now forgive me if I'm completely wrong. Fact checkers, listeners, if you're listening and you want to fact check me, please do. But I believe Joe Murphy is or was homeless on the streets of Kenora for a while.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Oh, and What's the guy's name from TSN? Rick Westhead?
Yeah, Rick Westhead. There was a whole story about it. And you know what, Joe?
And
was
there's
like,
a book now called Finding Murph.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Joe Murphy. There we go. Okay. I got number 28 or 26. Hard to tell from this photo. Bruce Driver of the New Jersey Devils.
I
don't
really
remember
liked,
him, but I love those uniforms.
I really liked when the Devils were wearing those unis. I like that green.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Devils had at one point green pants, green shoulders, green striping.
Yeah.
No, wait, the shoulders might have been red. Okay, I've got a landscape card, a horizontal one. I've got Sean Burr of the Detroit Red Wings. Number 11, Sean Burr. With the landscape card. Kind of cool, but when you got a album, you know, like with the sheets and you put a horizontal card in there, they're tough. It doesn't fit. If you're organizing by team, it doesn't really fit. So you almost have to find some other horizontals to put in there and have it just a horizontal page. A little bit of housekeeping for you there, listeners. We've got number 14, Jeff Lazaro of the Boston Bruins. These are nice cards. I like them. They're glossy. They've got some nice gold accents and no border, like you say. But this pack, they are definitely stuck together. So you got to peel them off one by one. Oh my God. This is a beautiful hockey card, folks. This is Gary Galley, Hockey Night in Canada commenter. And that is a close up. That's what they call an MCU in TV lingo, medium close up. So that's basically neck up, you know, shoulders up. And he's just there. It's a face off. No, it's probably not because his chin strap is undone. Probably warmies.
I'm going to say that's definitely warmies.
Yeah. What a beautiful card. Gary Galley. Love him. Okay. We got Corey Millen of the New York Rangers, your Stanley Cup favorites at this point of the 2024 playoffs. It's New York
can't
Rangers.
Can't say I remember Corey.
No, me neither. Who do we got here? We got another guy I can't say as I remember. Number 36 of your St. Louis Blues, Glenn Featherstone. I love the name.
Captain Featherstone.
If you had to take one look at him and guess what kind of role he played, Jared? What would you
say? I think he liked to chuck the knuckles.
Yes, he looks like a knuckle chucker. That is for sure. Oh my gosh, these are so stuck together. Who do we got now? Oh, Ben, I loved this guy, Benoit Hogue. This is a number 33 for the Buffalo Sabres, Benoit Hogue. Love those Sabres socks, Jared.
That is a great uni.
Yeah, great socks. I feel like we're going to run long here. This is taking a lot longer than anticipated.
So,
local legend Mike Keane, number 12 of the Montreal Canadiens. Beautiful.
So the Wilf, I've got all of mine separated.
Okay. I'll try to go super quick. Freddie Olesen of the Winnipeg Jets.
Jets legend. Thing that I will say that I do not like about the top stadium club after they have been compressed for 33 years.
Now the Kodak is like got peeled a bit.
Yes. Who you got there? Calgary Flames.
Robert Reichel. Really nice Calgary Flame right there.
What is with that? Like that.
That's
card
a weird
photo?
Card.
Yeah, he's wearing a practice jersey.
It's a practice jersey for sure. Yeah. He's signing sticks. They caught him. They were just like, "Hey, Robert," and he looked up and they took a picture, and that's his hockey card.
Yeah,
like he's not. What a weird hockey card is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's like signing some sticks after practice one day and a helmet maybe that he, you know, going to auction at the local Calgary Flames, you know, auction or whatever. And then, yeah, he's just no smile on his face. He's just like, is just like looking up barely. Weird card. Oh, I love this one. Captain of the 1993 Montreal Canadiens. Number 21, Guy Carboneau.
Look at him. He's just chilling.
Yeah.
We should give that one to Coach Vince. Doesn't he? He loves Guy Carboneau.
He has something against old Guy, for sure.
I don't
care. Jared, okay, that's my pack of top stadium club. What do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to go quick.
Sorry.
Yeah. I got Anatoly Semenov.
Oh, good old Semenov, yeah.
Semenov. I got Jimmy Rivnak. Now we've got two Jim Rivnaks now. I've got
stocking up.
Greg Gilbert.
Oh, Gilby. Uh-huh.
Mark Hunter. A lot of people talking
brother
to Mark.
To Dale, maybe?
Yes. A lot of people talking to Mark Hunter is going to be the next GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
That
it could trigger a move of old Mitchie Marner to Columbus.
Sure, why not?
They were
and
together.
Imagine if
Line-A's
health ever got back to it.
No.
Mitch would just set Line-A up for goals all day.
So then I've got a trio of Winnipeg Jets legends in different uniforms.
Lay it on me.
We got Randy Gillen.
Gillen wearing a Penguins uni.
I got Ron Wilson, affectionately referred to in Winnipeg as the dog.
And I got Wilson's wearing a Blues uni there.
Dave Manson.
Manson in a Hawks uni.
Yep.
Nice. I like that.
Craig Simpson.
Mm.
We've named an episode.
Much like
after
his Hockey
Simpson.
Night in Canada colleague, Gary Galley, that is an MCU medium close up.
Got another Jets legend with the Jets, Thomas Steen.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where this pack kind of takes off. I got Claude Lemieux with the Devils in an action shot. Look at that jersey.
I love it.
I got Bob Probert.
Oh, Probes.
Just looking
so
to find somebody to punch.
So they're lining up for a defensive zone faceoff. There's Tim Chevalier in the background. And
he wants to find somebody to punch.
Uh-huh.
I got GM or current like hockey admin of your Pittsburgh Penguins or of your Seattle Kraken, Ronnie Francis.
Oh, Ronnie Francis. I wish he was the GM of Pittsburgh. It'd be a lot better than Kyle Dubas. Don't mind. Pardon my French.
Ronnie Francis. And then the coup de grace, the pride of Carmen, Manitoba.
Oh, Eddie Belfour. Folks, if you're driving down Highway 2 in Manitoba, you'll see a sign that says Carmen, home of Ed Belfour. Wow.
It's
actually,
Tom, as somebody who grew up in Carmen, it's Highway 3. If you're driving down Highway 2, stop in Elm Creek at Ma's Drive-In and get yourself some seasoned fries. They're quite good.
I will.
They're very good.
I am sorry. I knew that it was Highway 3. My bad.
Yeah, there's a co-host. There's a co-host Jared sign that hangs underneath the Eddie Belfour
right
sign.
Under the Ed Belfour sign.
Yeah, it's just
sign.
Like also co-host
also home.
Jared.
Also
yeah.
home.
Jared McKediak. Yeah. So that
we
was
should
fun.
Go down there and hang that sign this summer.
All right.
Road trip.
Yeah.
Got any road trip songs?
No, but
we got a song we got to play on the way
out. Yeah, we got a song we got to play on the way out, and we're way over time. Thrush Hermit. We talked about playing Thrush Hermit. Never a bad band to play, honestly, but this one kind of fits because the Topps Stadium Club was a Kodak partnership.
Film.
Yeah,
Kodak
film. Yeah, we got to explain it. So this is Thrush Hermit, and from the back of the film.
This was a hit. So
this
folks,
we
went way over time today. And if you want to hear the songs in full, just like Google it. You know what I mean? We're just like,
we almost never get to play the songs.
I know.
Full
we don't, you know
we
what? And you know
overtime.
What? For podcasting, it kind of works out that we don't have to play the full song because of copyright.
Copyright. Yeah.
But, you know, for college radio, it's great. And also, you know, just Google these songs because they're great songs.
Yep.
Anyway, this is that song on
Thrush Hermit. Thrush Hermit from
this
the back
is from
of
the
film.
Back of the film. Thrush Hermit, 1999, on Talkin' Hockey, the hockey talking show.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Oh.